Can't learn something here. Tachlis HaYisurim, we're still trying to understand what the purpose of Yisurim is. Okay. We've understood that the purpose of Yisurim, intellectually we understand it, is a has a positive purpose both for the goodness of the world and God's goodness of that person and his spiritual world. So let's try and get into this. This is really getting into the depth of the sugya now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, goes through the suffering in order to bring a Jew back to his correct derech. This Jew that's undergoing the suffering that we mentioned earlier, if he's got a shtickle sensitivity, he understands that he's causing the Shechina enormous tzar, and with embarrassment he stands in front of Hashem and he says to him like this. He stands embarrassed in front of Hashem for the tzar that he caused to Hashem, that Hashem was forced to cause him Yisurim. But Hashem doesn't like causing tzar to people. That's not his default position. His default position is lemutov, to do good for us. When we're not allowing him to do good to us, in order to get us back on the path where he's not going to do good for us, he somehow has to cause us some tzar. Yeah? But that causes him kaviyachol tzar. So we have to apologize to him for the tzar we're causing him. Olav lachshov. The person's supposed to think. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ko hevoti. Who doigli, he loves me and he cares about me and he's worried about me. Aina noisen li lipol lichleis es yamei betol. And he's not prepared to tolerate me wasting my life on nothingness, on toll. Vani ko tziarti oto. And I cause so much tzar to him. Sharei kish yudim misiyase biyusurim. Because when a Jew is suffering from Yisurim, Shechina Ma'omeris, what does the Shechina say? Kalini Mereshe, Kalini Mizroye. What does that mean? I am a Kosh Baruch Hu Mukhan Lizbol Kivyochud Yisurim, Mivad Sheani Lo Azovoto. Mizroye means his children, no? Mizera. What does Kalini mean? Kuf Lamed Nun Yud. Kalni Miroishi, Kalni Mizroi. Timon Sanhedrin, don't know what it means. We have to look up what the Gemara means in Sanhedrin, we'll have a look later. But whatever it means, he's learning Pshat in the Sefer, that it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to tolerate suffering in order that we should just not leave it. So Baal Nefesh, Tzazi, Hoylech, Umizgava, Menafshim. Someone's a Baal Nefesh, somebody who's living a, whatever you want to define a Baal Nefesh, but for purposes of our discussion, let's say somebody who is aspiring to spiritual growth, let's use that word lightly. This concept goes and gets strong in his Nefesh, Achehu Shochech Mitzara Ha'ishi, until he forgets about his own personal Tzar, because Shehu Mitpala La Yisurov, Hu Mitpala Be'ika Ki Yisoylek Tzar Ha'shvina. The summer dragon. The tzar that he's suffering sort of pales in insignificance to the tzar that the Shekhinah is feeling, and therefore he's davening that the tzar of the Shekhinah be taken away. The ultimate reason why we want Mashiach to come is so that the tzar of the Shekhinah should go away. At some level. You can put all your own personal suffering, whatever, behind you, and all you're concerned about is the tzar of Shekhinah. V'kach amar Rabbi Yisrael Mirozen. Because Yeshi was Beit HaSol, he was sitting in prison. Rabbi Yisrael Mirozen. Who was Rabbi Yisrael Mirozen? The Lubliner, no? The seer of Lublin, maybe? Who was the Rosen, no? Don't know. Okay. Anyway, he was in prison. The Rabbi Yisrael Mirozen was the Rogachev? Rabbi Yisrael Mirogachev. The Rosina, this is the Rosina. Ah, this is maybe the Rosina Rebbe. I don't know too much about this. Anyway, there were plenty of great people that spent time in prison, yeah? If you like this kid, there were plenty. No shortage of the Gedol Yisrael that landed up in jail. Gamki Eilech Begeit Samovas Lo Iro. Pasuk in Tehillim that we say all the time, Gam ki eilech, even ki eilech begeitz amavus, I'm walking the depths of the death, the dark valleys, lo ira, einenu mefachad mihasakonaz umihatsorois hagedoilis beyoysa. I'm not scared for all the dangers and all the tsar that I have, because I know that that's for my good. Rati ato imodi, because we're trapped in the pasuk. We normally learn pasuk gam ki erech begeit samavas lo ira ra. I don't feel ra ki ato imodi, because you're with me. Look how he learns pshat. Gam ki erech begeit samavas lo ira. Even though I'm in the gates of the valley of death, I don't fear. Ra ki ato imodi ula mima ni kein magishra. What I do feel bad for ki ato imodi, because you're going to be here with me in prison. You're going to be here with the tsar. You have to suffer because of me. Means I'm in prison. It doesn't bother me because I know that this is for my good and that's fine. I don't have a problem with this. What's bothering me? Ra ki ata imodi. The ra that you're going through because you're with me.
So Hashem put him in that tsar for him to learn something and get close to Hashem. But Hashem suffered tsar even though he put him in that.
So what's bothering him? Not his tsar. He starts good, so that's good for me. What's bothering him is that he caused a kosbohu star. I'll give you a very lamaisa marshals. One's enough. Kasheyudi chai la'irin shalachushas eilu. When a Jew lives with this sensitivity, mitchazeket beliba ava l'bayir oilam. It strengthens the ava that he has for bayir oilam. He understands that Hashem loves him, he's not prepared to separate from him. Amnam ahefsed hakaski v'hitu hayusurim koivim, litimam gam koivim moi, ulam ze shove. Nevertheless, the money is lost and the suffering is going from, even though it's very, very painful sometimes, never it's worth it. It's shove. Mama shove. Shayal yodam choyiz adam loyivas Hashem uludovkabo. All the suffering is worth it because it brings you back to cleave to Hashem and to love him. There's a lot of discussion.
It's a bit of a two-part question. How can it be, first of all, that the Shekhinah feels sorry?
Excellent
but,
question.
But
good.
Well, why should it? Because if the Shekhinah is doing something for our benefit also, so thinking that, this is a good process. Why should it be sorry?
Your first question, how does the Shekhinah feel sorry? What does it mean the Shekhinah feels sorry? Any Musa, I don't know what it means. That's something I'm struggling with and battling with all the time. Real big avoider, how are you supposed to get sensitive? And I'm going to explain to you now why it's such an issue. And it's a real issue. This sounds very ethereal, and up in the air, and divers or whatever. I'll show you down here, the Maisa, how we're struggling with this all the time. I'll give you an example. You apply to your own lives. There are many examples. And based on that, not understanding that, it's very hard to answer your second question as well. Because what does it mean the Shekhinah feels tzar when the Shekhinah knows that I'm meant for the good? So then I can answer a little, but I'll be martial. But once again, I'm reiterating. Since you don't understand the first question, the second question, the answer is a very tentative answer. When a father's got to give a child a patch, yeah, because he knows that's what the child needs, and he's giving him a patch because it's the best thing, he's calculating, he's giving him a hard trap or whatever, giving a child a hiding is not a pleasant thing. Yeah, you walk around feeling icky for a few days after you let you give your child a patch, right? I'm not talking about where you gave a child a patch when you shouldn't have, you walk around feeling icky. I'm talking about where cheshbon or whatever you decided, this is the best thing, this is mamash what the child needs. Yeah, it's the best possible thing that can happen to the child to get a patch, eh? But the father doesn't feel nice having given him a patch, it causes the father tzar. If he's a caring, loving father, even though he's not doing the best thing for the child, but it would much rather that the child didn't mess up and not need the correction, then he could deal with the child nicely. When the father promises a child a new bicycle, yeah, but he can't give the bicycle to the kid because the kid... giving the kid the bicycle is going to do more damage than good. Whatever, the kid's an ingrate, so he's got to hide the bike away, whatever, he's sitting in the store with his bicycle, and every day comes home, who wants the bike more? The father wants to give the kid the bike, much more than the kid wants the bike. And when the kid suddenly wakes up and realizes what an ingrate is, he comes and he cries to his father and apologizes, and says, oh, I'm so sorry, tuck, 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 tuck. And the father runs to the store and gives the kid the bicycle, who's enjoying that more? So even though the father knows that not giving this kid the bicycle is the best possible thing, he's doing the best thing for the kid, but nevertheless, it's causing him tzar. He wants to give, and that's Hashem. Hashem wants to give. Hashem wants us to get the good. Hashem wants us to go to Olam Haba more than we want to. Hashem wants us to be matzliach more than we want to be matzliach. And we're preventing him from letting us be matzliach. That somehow, whatever that means, causes him tzar. I don't know what that means. I have a hard time even understanding what Hashem is. Bichlal, I don't understand what the creator of the universe, infinite creator universe, who can make the sun by just like flipping a, you know, and the sun's nothing. Yeah, and we can't even begin to fathom the sun, okay? And to think that the person that made the sun or whatever, and he wants to have a personal interrelationship with me, that's what I spend a lot of my time toiling and bothering about. We know that it's true, but I'm saying intellectually I understand it. Even that's hard to understand, but to really have it that the Hashem feels come tight because I bumped my toes, like, you know, come on. You know? They've done Purim spiels on this one, but there's a piece of plankton out there in Antarctica, right? A little bit of plankton, yeah? You're going to explain to that plankton that there's a person sitting in the, you know, sitting on dry land there in Israel that wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with him, wants to schmooze with him, wants to get to know him better. You know, so that plankton's going to have a hard time believing you, yeah? That's how I feel. There's a little bit of plankton floating around in the cosmic nothingness. And the creator of all of this is mamma, you know, we have a hard time relating to this. This might sound like apikosis, and it may be, because it is, but, you know, we have to know. You know, I have a rachamim and Hashem loves and he cares, but then it's true, I believe it all, but.
But you didn't create that plankton. But it's easier to understand that you want to.
Of course, but I'm just trying to give you the enormity, and that's not even a good marshal, you're right, because the difference between me and a plankton is nothing compared to the difference between me and a koshbol. Yeah, see, we don't really believe that we have an neshama in us that comes and is a chelek of Hashem himself. We're part of Hashem, we don't believe that. We think we're a little piece of plankton, we don't realize we're actually a part of the person on dry land. That's our real problem. And that's because of the sin of Adam Rishon, the enormous separation and darkness and period that we feel between us and Hashem. If we understood the truth, we realize that we're not that far and we're not that different from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why, by the way, the whole first part of the Sefer is explaining to you who you really are. Because if you don't know who you really are, you can never go about having a relationship with Hashem. The plankton doesn't try and have a relationship with an elephant. An ant doesn't try and relate to an elephant because it's not min b'mino. It's just they have nothing in common. There's no sheiches. So how do we have a sheiches to Hashem? Because we know we're a part of it. We have in common with him. We're b'tzelem elokim. And we have to know that. And that's part of the Musa and the Avoida of the Soim like Nefesh HaChaim, where you've got to learn those Soim and understand who you really are. And how we poil and how we have got similarity to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But in Achinami, dealing with the Sugya of Tzara Shechina is very difficult, and Hashem gives us a lot of places to get in touch with it. I'll give you one fascinating example. We've been talking a lot about Chinuch here. Matasiyahu's new Sefer, he says a mighty thing. Everybody's perturbed. Why do kids go off the Derech? If they were ever on the Derech to start with, how old the kids don't have off the Derech? Kids on the Derech, very rarely goes off the Derech. The Derech is very compelling. When someone gets onto it, you hardly ever go off. What about all these kids? They're never on the Derech to start with. There's either kids on the Derech or the kids not on the Derech yet. There's no kids off the Derech. Maybe one in a million go off the Derech. Yeah. Rabbi Meir's Rabbi went off the Derech, you know, maybe the last one. Yeah. Maybe in the times of in Litter they were doing it, maybe the Yehuda went off the Derech. But today they're not off the Derech. They never got on the Derech. Kid gets onto the Derech today, most of them stay. Just redefining what everyone's up there talking about, right? The off the Derech problem, you know. Kids at risk. They're not at risk. They're just never. You know, they are at risk because they're not on the Derech. You know, trying to help these kids onto the Derech, not whatever. That's another discussion. Be that as it may, everyone has to know what causes kids to go off the Derech, right? So, you know, there's this and there's this and there's this and this, and they're all true and they're all not true. They're all right and they're all wrong. You'll never ever find out this is what causes kids to go off the Derech, right? Because you'll find a home where there's 10 kids that didn't and one that did. You'll blame it on the schools, you'll blame it on the children, you'll blame it on genetics. You'll never ever find the reason, right? It's a combination of many and whatever, yeah. But from what Tisiyahu says, one poshut reason, which is emes la'amitra, we don't understand it. Yeah? How many kids does a Kodesh Baruch Hu have off the Derech? How much pain does that cause him? We feel that pain? No. So it gives you a taste of what it feels like. Now you know what I'm feeling, Hashem says. Now you know what I feel. Give me a simple example. You go to shul and you tell your kid to meet you there. You've got a kid who should be in davening, right? Not because you worry about what the neighbors will say, but because you've evaluated that the kid needs to be davening now, right? Most kids until they're the age of whatever shouldn't be forced or told to come to shul, whatever. But you've determined that this kid needs to be at mincha at a certain time or whatever, and he needs to come and doesn't come. And you're waiting and you go to Shmon Esra and it's the middle of Chazor Seshas, whatever, and the kid doesn't come. And you're coughing inside, right? Poshut koch. I'm just giving you a very small example. Coughing inside. Yeah? Ever happened to you that you didn't get to davening on time? Yeah? There's no one at your stand there except the Shechina. And it's waiting and waiting and waiting. You don't get there? that's what a Kosh Baruch Hu feels. When you don't come to davening, that's what a Kosh Baruch Hu feels. That pain that you feel when your kid doesn't come to davening, that's what he feels. That's the pain. That's what Kosh Baruch Hu gives us a taste of what it feels like, so we can identify and emphasize with his tzar, so you also have a taste of the tzar. Come, let me show you what it feels like. And there's many things, many, many things. Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a house to live in, so you're also going to have a hard time getting a house. So many, many examples. If you ever look at what's going on in your life, have a look and see where the Shechina and you can get together and feel the pain together. Moedika insight. Moedika. I couldn't say it, but the Mashgiach can. If you see how it says a vort like that, you have to take it very seriously. The biggest cause of kicking off the derech is because we don't feel the tzara of the Shechina. If we'd feel the tzara of the Shechina, everybody probably Mashiach would come, but before that, it would save a lot of kids. Ah, why can't a Baruch Hu play a game with your kids to make you order? So that's the road we're getting into. We don't have answers to those questions. And whether this is true or not, I'm not going to argue, but it's a very useful tool to use to get in touch with the tzara of the Shechina. Find something that you know that you feel a certain pain for and try and think of it. So that's what a Kosh Baruch Hu is feeling. Kosh Baruch Hu's got lots of kids off the derech. Kimat 95% of these kids are not exactly, you know, where they should be. And that causes him enormous, enormous pain. Imagine a mother, the pain of a mother, we can't imagine. So that's, once again, it's a tool, the halacha lamaisa, to get a little sense of what the tzara of the Shechina should be. I think let's stop there. We've got enough to meditate on for now.